Turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 6. We're going to take a break from our study of 1 Corinthians today. And our focus is, of course, going to be Thanksgiving. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1. As we look at Daniel in the lion's den. Kind of a different text for Thanksgiving, isn't it? But we'll see how this turns out. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. It's about Daniel who prayed and gave thanks. Verse 1 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. This Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error found or fault found in him. These men said, 'We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' So these governors, satraps, thronged before the king and said thus to him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter.' Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this privilege to be in your house once again this week. Thank you for your word. Great truths that are found in there. Father, this morning as we open up, learn about what we're serving in, as you open our hearts and our minds to receive the message you've laid on Brother Doug's heart. God, we believe you're far closer to you than how we've come. Father, we have been willing to give thanks to you, even under whatever circumstance we may find ourselves in, the way that they did. Again, we thank you for your many blessings with your son. Except his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, I want to look at a couple of things that just make Daniel, Daniel. I mean, I love these Old Testament saints that just stand out. And Daniel was one of those guys who stood out very boldly. And we begin, the first thing that made Daniel stand out was Daniel's accountability. We find him in the text in a position of doing the right thing and producing a wrong result. Do you ever do that? You know what you've done is right, but it just doesn't work out the way it should. In the text we read where King Darius had set over the kingdom, 120 satraps were kind of... A satrap was a governor per se. And over these 120 governors, he assigned three supervisors. Or let's say they're presidents, more or less. And we immediately find that these presidents, three, were chosen because there was a problem in the kingdom. When he appointed these guys, if you'll notice in the text, it says, so that the king doesn't lose anything. There would be no loss to the king. That would indicate immediately that the guys that he's he's choosing are less than honest. Maybe even dishonest, if you will. He can't trust them. So he's got 120, then he's got three guys, but there's one guy that stands out above everybody, described as having a spirit of excellence, described as being faithful. He's so much head and shoulders above everybody else that there's no comparison. That the king sees Daniel and he says, "This is the guy I want over my entire kingdom." There was no one who had such dignity. And so, everything, the future's looking bright. Everything are as they're supposed to be. Until, out of jealousy, the governors, the satraps, and the supervisors decide, we got to get this guy Daniel. And you know how it turns out, as we read, and we'll get a little deeper in a moment. But Daniel finds himself in what for me would be the most difficult of circumstances. And I want to point out something to you I've never noticed before preparing for this message. In verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "Now Daniel, when he knew the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed." But it doesn't end there. He prayed and what? Gave thanks. Did you ever notice that at this point in the book of Daniel? I mean, we were raised on the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and we know how he's going to be thrown in the lion's den a little later on. But this was how he responded to life when it didn't go like most of us would think it was supposed to go. At this point, as we read, everything is against him. Everybody seems to be against him. So he goes into his home, gets on his knees, and he was certainly sure to open the window so there would be a testimony before the world. And he cries out, "Oh Lord, life is horrible. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Kill these governors. Kill the king. Lord, deliver me out of the hands of the enemy." He didn't pray that. But does it sound familiar? He prayed. And he gave thanks. For what? For a boss that was so dumb that he could be led astray by Daniel's co-workers? Did he pray and thank God, "Lord, thank you for these guys I'm working with, the backstabbing rascals"? Or perhaps he was thankful that he was a slave and far away from his home. Doesn't sound right, does it? Do you know, I just, the more I thought about that, I just thought how interesting it is that Daniel prayed at this point and gave thanks. And I thought, you know, it was at this point Daniel had to make up his mind, am I blessed or am I abused? Am I blessed or am I abused? Yeah, let me ask you, are you blessed? Are you abused? Let's be real, right? I mean, most of us in the United States of America, we think we're abused. In most churches, I'll be honest with you, most pastors think they're abused in some way or another. Daniel, I just find it's so awesome how there's never a waver in his faith. There's never a question in his God. He just, okay, this is the way it is. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to praise my God. And I think the secret is found in the very name of Daniel. You know what Daniel means? Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. And when you come to grips with that, you come to grips with the understanding that Daniel didn't have to please the king. Daniel didn't have to please the governors or the fellow workers. He didn't even have to please himself. He was accountable to God. And that is all. You know, how often do we come to that point in life that we think, Lord, I've done everything right and life is just against me. Everything is wrong. How often do we feel like everyone is against us? And how often and how good are we at getting on our knees and whining and complaining? I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty good at it. I don't know about you. Oh, but Lord, they did this to me, and Lord, they said that to me, and Lord, finances are tough, and Lord, and we go on with a laundry list of everything that's wrong, but you know what? How about going on with everything that's right? You see, Daniel, in knowing that he was accountable to his God, it made him a different person. It made him that person that took refuge in the fact that God was with him. It did not matter what law the king made. That he took refuge in the fact of knowing that if God closed the birds of the air and the grass of the field, that God could take care of him also. You know what? I think Daniel had this attitude of thanksgiving because he knew that God was still on the throne. And that's the first thing I want you to get today. You know God is still on the throne. As I look among this congregation today, I have no doubt there are some of you that have some financial difficulties. There are some of you that are experiencing marriage issues. There are some of you that are having trouble at work. There are some of you that it feels like all life is trouble. But I want to remind you, you still have a God that is on the throne. And it does not matter what the president or the Congress or your local government does. It does not matter the directions that life goes. It does not matter who's against you at work. What matters is your God is on the throne and He still loves you as His child. Amen. You have things to be thankful for. I love Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what? No matter how out of control life seems, I want to remind you that our God is still in control. That we still belong to Him. And as such, He's not been taken by surprise by anything in your life. Oh, friends, you have plenty to be thankful for. Let's move on in Daniel's life. Daniel, not only was he accountable to his great God, Daniel was predictable. I laugh. Because I'm so predictable, it's not even funny. I think it was last Sunday, we were coming to church. We got to church. We got out of the car and we're walking in the door. And Bed looked at me and smiled and said, "Well, here we are." And walked a little farther and, "Here we go." And you know what she did? She beat me to the punch. Every Sunday morning, as I'm walking from my car up to that door, she looked at me and said, "You're so predictable." Every Sunday, we pull up and I say, "Well, babe, here we are." And then I get almost to the door before we get there. "Well, darling, here we go. It's another Sunday." And, you know, I mean, she knows me. Bless her heart. I don't even have to speak anymore. I'm so predictable. Daniel was predictable. Daniel is so predictable that as these governors and satraps were looking and jealous of his position and knowing that the king was going to elevate him as the number one man in the kingdom, they became jealous. And so they developed a plot. And that plot was, we got to find something against Daniel. And they began to investigate Daniel's life. And you know what? They could find absolutely nothing. They looked high and low. They looked for everything, every penny, every dime, everywhere they could look. And they decided, we're not going to have anything that we can accuse this Daniel of unless we find something as it pertains to the law of his God. Wow. Oh, that the world could look at us and say, we won't have anything to accuse them of except for something as it pertains to the law of their God. So, realizing that they couldn't accuse him of embezzling or stealing or anything like that, they begin to look at his God and they formulate this plan to draw him out and put his life in jeopardy. And they run before the king and say, "Oh, king, live forever." I love how they did that, don't you? Because you know they didn't mean it. They're going before the king and, "Oh, king, live forever. We have a wonderful idea. We just believe that your kingdom is not honoring you like it should honor you. The people are not paying you the honor that's worthy of your high and holy, wonderful name, O King. So we've come up with a plan. Let everyone in this kingdom only petition you. And anyone in this kingdom for the next 30 days who petitions any god, let him be cast into the lion's den." So, the king says, "Hey, this is a good plan." He signs it into law, and I love it. You can read about it when you get home, but I love how when they go before the king, they say, "All the counselors, administrators, the satraps, and governors, we have all discussed it. They lied because Daniel wasn't in on the process, was he?" But they go before the king. And they make this recommendation and the king falls for it. And the scene is set. And it's set so that Daniel's got to make a decision. And that decision is he going to be the same God is my judge Daniel that he's always been? And the interesting thing is nothing changes. Nothing. He goes, it says, once he knew that this law or decree was signed, he went home and he made sure his windows were open. I don't know about you, I'd probably shut my windows. How about you? He made sure his windows were open and he made sure he was facing Jerusalem, so that all the world could see. And three times in the day that the king signed that into law, three different times he publicly got on his knees and he petitioned and gave thanks to his God, as was his custom. You see, nothing changed in the life of Daniel. This is what he always did. This is what his life was built on. This was not a demonstration. Okay? Daniel didn't say, "Oh, the king signed this law. I'm going to demonstrate and show him. I'm going to make a peaceful demonstration. Go over here and pray." Sometimes I think we're really silly. You know, we get to thinking we're abused and we start demonstrating Let me ask you a question. All right? Are you with me? Okay, let me ask you this question. If a law were passed today that said you could not publicly pray for 30 days, you could not acknowledge your God, you could not give thanks to your God in public, and if you do, then you face the consequences of law. If that law was passed, how would it change your life? What am I talking about? I'm talking about, do you do it now? You know what I'm saying? You know, I can tell you, if that law was passed that said you can't pray, we would, folks, we'd join arm in arm and we'd head right up to the courthouse and we'd say, I'll show you. I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to pray publicly. Do you do it now? Is it your custom right now to pray and give thanks to God publicly? Is it your custom now to honor your great God? Because after all, everything we are, we owe to God. Amen? I dare say there are some here that were that law passed and we began to pray in public, we'd be doing something we've never done before. I don't pray in public for a show, but I want to tell you what I think public prayer does. It lets people know where you stand. Okay? It lets people know that you know there is a God. When you go to a restaurant, do you pray before you enjoy your meal? I've had people come up to me and say, I don't know who you are, but I just want you to know, I appreciate y'all praying before you eat. And I'm thinking, don't we all do that? If we don't, we should. We should. Every opportunity that we get. You see, Daniel was so consistent. There was a pattern of prayer and thanksgiving in your life. And do you know why he was so consistent? Oh, he was so consistent because his God was consistent. Daniel is a really cool book. You go back to chapter 1 and you read how that Daniel was one of the many Israelites that was taken captive, pulled out of his homeland. And he gets there and the king makes a decree that everybody's to eat the king's meat. All right? Everybody's to eat the king's, or all these wise men are supposed to eat the king's meat, right? And so Daniel comes and says, oh, listen, we can't defile ourselves with the king's meat. Remember that? Chapter 1. And so he made a deal. Daniel made a deal with him and said, listen, you just let us eat vegetables and y'all eat the other stuff that the king demands that y'all eat. Give us a week. I think it's a week or 10 days. And see. And at the end of that 10 days, you know, they examine Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And at the end of that 10 days, they found that they were 10 times more wise than anybody else in the kingdom. You know why? Because of their God. They were faithful to God, and God was faithful to them. Chapter 2, the king gave the order to kill all the wise men of the kingdom. And so but the reason was the king had had a dream. And nobody could tell him what the dream was nor give him an interpretation until someone approached Daniel. And Daniel said, hold it, before you kill everybody, let me seek my God. And so Daniel prays and God reveals to him what the dream was and gives him the interpretation. And he goes and tells the king, the dream, and what it meant. And so the order was lifted. All the wise men were saved. Because God gave him the wisdom to interpret the dream. You see what I'm building here? God, he's been repeated in that position to test God's faithfulness. And every time, God has been faithful. In chapter 3, the king, and I love this one. Chapter 3, the king built an image of gold, right? And when they heard the blast of the trumpets, everybody's supposed to bow down to this image of gold. But there were these three Hebrew troublemakers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the trumpet sounded, and them guys went, No, we don't bow down to idol gods. They go before the king. They're brought before the king. And the king says, now I'm going to give you one more chance. When you hear the trumpet, you know, you bow down and you honor this idol that I have built before you. And they say, king, here's the deal. You can throw us into the fiery furnace. Our God may save us. He may not save us. But one thing that will not happen, we will not bow down to your idol. You remember how the story goes? The end of the story, they're thrown into the fire. Three men are thrown in and they look in and they say, wow, we're not three men thrown into the fire. Why are four in that fire walking around? One of them was Jesus, right? And they come out of that fire and they didn't even smell like smoke. They were faithful to God and God was faithful to them. You see the pattern? You see, Daniel knew what God had been in the past. Therefore, he knew how he could stand in the future. I want to ask you. My goodness. I want to ask you. What has God done for you in the past? Where have you been? What have you been through? Think of the times that you've been in the fire, but you've never went through the fire alone. Think of the times that you've had to take a stand for the honor and the glory of God, and how God always shows up, does He not? You see God's pattern of faithfulness in your life. Listen, shouldn't there be a pattern of thanksgiving and prayer in our life also? Shouldn't there be such a pattern that no matter what's going on in this society or what circumstance we face, there's one thing we know, that we will be faithful and our God will be faithful to us. That's the way it's supposed to work. Daniel was predictable. He was predictable in that he was going to serve God no matter what. Then we come to God's ability. I love the last part. In closing here. Well, kind of in closing. Daniel had to make a decision. And in Daniel's decision, he had to decide, am I going to let this life change who I am in the Lord? And you know what? That was tested. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to stand for Jesus. It's another thing to say, I'm going to stand for Jesus no matter what. You see, that's where we get confused. Oh, Daniel, it didn't matter what law, he was going to honor his God. Are you that way? Do you want to be that way? You see, the men came before the king and they told on Daniel. Oh, king, didn't you make this law? Yes, we made this law. Well, there's this one guy who's not listening to your law. Well, who's that? It's Daniel. He's praying 3 times a day, windows open and facing Jerusalem. This Daniel, 3 times a day, let's pray. You know what the king said? King says he was displeased with himself. He wasn't displeased with Daniel. He knew who Daniel was. He was displeased with himself. And I love the way it went down. You see, they remind him, now king, you know that a law cannot be rescinded according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. King says, yes, I know. And he thought all he could think to try to get Daniel out of it. And he finally come to the point. He said, Daniel, this is one I can't get you out of. Good news is, Daniel's God was still on the throne, right? And so he gave the order, throw him into the lion's den. That's what the law says, throw him into the lion's den. But when you read the rest of the chapter, the king says something that just sticks with you. You see, the king, just before they put him in the lion's den, the king says, Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. He will deliver you. And they put him in the lion's den. They roll a big stone in front of the door. Keep him in there so he can't escape. Put the seal on the door. And the king goes home. Oh, he spent all night fasting, praying, pleading. You know, this is my buddy Daniel. This is the guy that I love more than anyone in the whole kingdom. Anybody else it could happen to, but not Daniel. The king goes back the next morning and it says he gave a lamenting cry. I mean, a sorrowful cry. See, the king had told Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will save you. But the king didn't really believe that. But I'll tell you who did believe it. Daniel believed it. But anyway, he goes back the next morning and he says, oh, Daniel, are you okay? Are you all right? Has your God, and get this, has your God been able
to save you. You know what Daniel said? Yeah, buddy. Oh, King, live forever. Yes, sir. My God has saved me. And I love the way that it's broken down, because Daniel says, oh, King, live forever. The angel of the Lord has closed the lion's mouth. I'm okay. What's really interesting is that word shut that's in the text when he says the angel has shut the lion's mouth. That is a very strong Hebrew word. It means, you know, to slam shut. It means that the angel came in and the lions, you know, they didn't cease to be lions. They didn't not want to eat Daniel. All right. Sometimes we get the idea that Daniel just laid over there on the lions and they became all tame. No, it says it says the angel of the Lord has slammed the mouth of the lion shut. He didn't give them choice. He closed their mouth. They couldn't even open their mouth to lick Daniel. You see how God works? You see the power of God? Listen, I want to go back to where we were. Daniel had a trust in his God that never fainted during his life. And Daniel didn't panic, because he was challenged. He didn't lose faith because things didn't look good. Daniel trusted his God. Listen, my friend, it's Thanksgiving. Okay? Number one, are you thankful? All right? Don't be remiss in realizing every blessing you have comes from God. Okay? And sometimes we take things for granted. Don't do that. But I want to talk to you for a minute for those that are in this congregation that are facing the fire, that are facing the den of lions. Do you realize the God that you serve has the ability to slam shut the mouth of the lions that's threatening you? I mean, He can lift it. He can take care of it. You're not on your own. You're not out there and forsaken. God is still God. Then old Daniel says they took him up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him. You know why? Verse 23, because he believed in his God. Isn't that what Thanksgiving is? It's when you trust God. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, thank you. I do that when I go through the line at the restaurant. I say thank you. Is that a heartfelt thank you? Well, you know, not really. It's polite. I go through the drive-thru. I say thank you because it's polite. You want to thank God? Believe God. Trust God. Even when you can't see the way out, trust God. And here's what I can promise you. It may not be easy. Life may be, you know, you may get pushed to your limit. But if you're a child of God, God's still with you. And He's not going to leave you out there by yourself to face the lions. Okay? Be thankful. Believe God. Trust in God. He's got it. I tell you what, if we were all honest and I were to ask, how many of you are facing lions today? Probably half this crowd could say, I'm dealing with the lions. You don't know what the appropriate response is? get on your knees and thank God, because you're not dealing with the lions by yourself. All right? God's going to show up, and He's going to be God when He does. All right? You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know something that's really good for me, for anybody, to know I'm not going through this life alone. I'm not fighting these battles by myself, because I belong to Jesus. And, you know, the Bible calls us children of God and does that for a reason. It's so that we can understand the mentality that God has toward us. You want to mess with me? Mess with one of my children. Right? I'm going to do everything within my power to come running to take care of my children. You want to take it a step farther? Mess with one of my grandchildren, buddy. We're doing it then. It's on then, right? Do you realize, as a child of God, He gave you that title to remind you that's how He feels for you. I love you. I'm going to be there for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when life is overwhelming, you know what? I've got some place to turn. My God, my Father's still on His throne. Do you have that? If not, I want to give you the opportunity to be saved in this invitation and seek the Lord Jesus for salvation. That's what this invitation is for. Maybe you're here today and you're going through the fire. In the den of lions. Times are getting tough. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Maybe you're here today and things are good. There are no lions. Well, glory to God. Guess what? The lions will come one of these days, okay? I figured it out. You're either going through trouble, coming out of trouble, or going back into trouble, you know, in this life. Friends, if you're a child of God, the appropriate place for us to be during this season is on our knees, thanking God for who He is and for His faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for Your Word. And thank You, Lord, for the example of Daniel. We're reminded we should be willing to thank You, Lord, right in the heart of the storm. And we should be desiring to thank You when the storm is over. Lord, we should be desiring every day to give You the glory due Your name. For You are a good God. And we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We pray now Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.